Train to Love. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1884. "What do you intend to do about the house?" the Earl of Kencombe asked. There was a distinct pause before Lola answered. "I thought maybe, Uncle Arthur, I could stay here."
"Stay here alone?" the Earl exclaimed. "Of course not. You know as well as I do a girl of 18 cannot live alone unless you find someone to chaperone you."
Lola had already thought of this, and she had to say rather weakly, "I cannot think of anyone I would not have to pay." That, she knew, was the crucial point. She had known, when she saw the expression on her uncle's face, that their decision, when they did have one, was going to be very difficult. She had just buried her father and mother. It seemed incredible that only a few days ago they were all so happy in the small village in Worcestershire. They had a few neighbours, but they had not worried them, and Lola could not imagine any two people being as happy as her father and mother. Granted that all her mother's family had violently disapproved of her marriage. Lady Cecilia Coombe had been very beautiful, and her parents were looking forward to presenting her at court and giving her a season in London. To their horror, just before they were packing up to leave their house in Norfolk, Lady Cecilia had announced that she wished to marry her brother's tutor. Neville Fenton was a gentleman, but apart from that he had little to recommend him to the family. He was very clever and had had a good education, and he had started to write books after they were married. They were acclaimed as being brilliant, but did not bring in a great deal of money. His books were usually on rather obscure subjects that few people found especially interesting, but to his wife they were everything she wanted to read and hear. Lady Cecilia's father was furious at her persisting that Neville Fenton was the only man she would marry. He threatened to cut her off without a penny, but when they were actually married, he relented to give her government stock that brought her in £50 a year. This, Lola knew, was all that she had now to live on, dress and feed herself and keep a roof over her head. She suspected that if anyone from the family did come to the funeral, it would be her uncle, who had recently inherited the title. She was well aware that her mother had never been very fond of him, and they had not got on well. Her younger brother, to whom Neville Fenton had been tutor, had sadly died when he was only 18. Even as Lola was watching the two coffins being lowered into the grave, she had found it difficult to believe that her father and mother had really left her. They had only gone on a short railway journey to Worcester. Her father had wanted more manuscript paper and to explore the bookshops, as he always hoped to find books of reference for his next book. That they had been involved in a railway accident on their return journey seemed incredible. It was not as though it was a very serious accident, with only three people having been killed, but two of them had been her father and mother. It was one of those accidents that were inevitably taking place on the new railways that were being built all over England, and the companies boasted that there were very few accidents, and if they did, they were not serious. Nothing could be more serious to Lola, however, than to lose her adored father and mother. She suddenly found herself an orphan with no one to turn to for help except her mother's family, which meant the fifth Earl of Kencombe. She had notified him of her parents' death. When she had actually appeared in the small village church, she felt her heart sink. He was looking just as supercilious as she expected he would, and he was in his own way.